What a blessing it is to see you today. A little louder than I thought. What a blessing it is to be able to worship our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. And what a blessing it is to be able to be surrounded by love. I am so thankful to be the preacher here at Azalea City Church of Christ. It's such a blessing to my life. It's a blessing to my family's life, and I thank you for allowing me that opportunity. But you guys are some of the best ministers I know. You do a great job of encouraging and loving and helping others out, and that's an encouragement to me. I am encouraged this morning by your presence, but I'm also encouraged that we have had those who are sick. Some of them are making their way back, and I'm thankful for that. Aaron, I think you've had the flu 3 times, haven't you, buddy? I mean, poor guy. Pray for him. You know, wash your hands before you shake them. Aaron doesn't need it anymore. But great job reading to us today. Thank you, Brother Steve. Thank you, George. Thank you to all those who've led us. David's beautiful prayer and our shepherd's prayer this morning. And just a great day in general. I am thankful to have my dad with us today. Good to see him back there. He's still got a tough road ahead. And so y'all keep praying for him, but he is doing better than expected, and so we're thankful for that. But please keep praying for him and my mom and in that situation and his recovery. Today, I am going to talk with you again from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, it's just such a beautiful chapter, such a beautiful part of the Bible. You remember we've talked the last few weeks about things that we need to focus on, about living a more excellent life, living a more pure life. Well, today I'm going to talk to us about Philippians 4, verse 4. You know that verse by heart, right? There it is, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I am thankful that Paul repeated that, aren't you? I'm thankful that this old simple-minded guy, he needs to be reminded every now and again. Michelle does a really good job. There's a lot of directions my life travels from time to time, and I'm not saying that for you to feel sorry for me by any means. I chose the things that I do. But it does travel a lot of different directions, and Michelle has a calendar, and I'm sure you all have stuff like this too, but it's linked up to mine. And she'll put things in there, and they'll go off as reminders. And man, I appreciate that. I need to be reminded. So guess what Paul said? He said, I'm going to remind you, just in case you just forgot. We need to be rejoicing. We need to be a people that's filled with joy, don't we? We need to be a people that when we walk out of here today. By the way, I'm full of joy right now. I mean, to talk about blessed assurance. You know, this is my story. This is my song praising my Savior all the day long. I mean, that's something we come in here and we sing and we're excited. We started out singing and being happy. And you know, what a blessing that sets the mood for our approach to God today. I am fired up right now, but am I going to be fired up an hour from now when I walk out of these doors? Am I going to be able to go to these people and say, you know, when I'm in my restaurant and I've waited, or wherever you go, I get to go to Mama's Kitchen, thankfully. But anyhow, wherever you go, you know, and the waitress or waiter is not as good as you want, are we still going to have that rejoicing in the Lord feeling? You know, I don't know. But it's something that we get challenged all the time, is the whole point behind it. When's the last time we truly rejoiced? And I'm not talking about you, Belinda Moss, a couple weeks ago about throwing your back out after Alabama won their 432nd national championship. Okay? That's not the rejoicing I'm talking about today. But I know you guys rejoiced then. Some of you did. That wasn't as much laughter, Justin, as we talked about that being. Maybe it stepped on my toes, right? Anyhow, the point is, when is the last time we truly rejoiced? When is the last time we truly felt that joy? Maybe it's been a little while. Maybe it's been a moment of time that has elapsed that we haven't been able to sit back and say, yes, I truly have joy. I can remember that time. And I'm not talking about just being happy today. Because let me differentiate a couple things real quick. Happiness is external, okay? A lot of things that make me happy happen on the outside, right? They happen on the outside of my body. It may be something that I see, or something that reminds me of something, or a song, or a joke, or whatever it may be. That may make me happy. Well, that's external. Joy is internal. That true joy comes from the inside. Happiness sometimes happens by chance. You know, there may be something that dictates happiness that happens to me, and that's going to be by chance. Well, joy is choice. I choose joy. I choose Jesus Christ. Happiness equals sometimes the circumstance. Maybe the circumstance that we're going through in life. Maybe there's something that happened in our lives or our children's lives or our family's lives that brought some happiness. Joy comes from Christ. So I'm talking today about rejoicing. We're going to have bad days, though, aren't we? We are. There are going to be days that we struggle. The question is, how are we going to respond to those days? James chapter 1, verse 2, James reminds us there, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Whoa, James. Let's put the brakes on right there. What do you mean? When I go through trials, when I go through struggles, when I go through things, how can I have joy? Because Jesus Christ did what? Overcame the world. He overcame the various trials and tribulations and struggles that we may go through. That's why He said, find peace in this. I want you to find peace. Be of good cheer. Choose to rejoice. Choose joy. Now, something that I've probably pointed out to you in the past, but I think it's worth reminding again. One thing I really like to look back at the text. I'm not a Greek expert or a Hebrew expert, but I'm pretty good at finding websites that help me with that. But the point is, I like to look back at the original and see what these words. Joy is a cool word. It's spelled C-H-A-R-A in the Koine Greek. Well, the English translation of that. C-H-A-R-A, but it's pronounced hara, hara, hura. You know? That's kind of what it sounds like to me. Like, hooray. That's what I associate a word if something happens, like, hooray. You know, hip, hip, hooray. Well, joy is that hara. Are we living that hurrah kind of life? That's a question that we've got to ask ourselves. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 15. Jason and I did not compare notes at all this morning on what he was going to talk about, but doesn't love and joy go hand in hand? I mean, the love that we have for God, if you look at what he says, Jesus Christ says in verse 12 of John 15, I know we're going to look at 1 through 11, but this is what he says. This is my commandment, that you do what? Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Then he tells them, you're my friends if you do what I say. So Jesus in 12, 13, and 14 is talking about love and talking about giving his life. But prior to that, he's going to give them some information and talk about joy. Look at the text, beginning in verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears his promise, that it may bear... I do not have my glasses. Bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now what's Jesus talking about there? He's talking about producing fruit. What kind of fruits he talking about? Well, we know in 12, 13, and 14, he's talking about love, but listen to what he talks in the middle of this. As the Father, this is verse 9 now, loved me, I also have loved in you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Put it all together now. Jesus talked simply, but sometimes we have to break down the way it's translated or whatever and look at it. What was Jesus saying? He's saying, if you will love, okay, the way I love you, the way the Father loves you, the way I'm willing to give my life for you, then you're going to want to serve. You're going to want to produce fruit. You're going to want to help others. You're going to want to do kind things and good things and wonderful things to each other. And what happens when I do all that? I'm going to be full of joy. Anybody ever did something with the right motive behind it, good for somebody else, and said, that was the most miserable thing I've ever done in my life? No, they haven't. Why? Because it fills our joy. Think of our lives as a big old mason jar full of joy. The more we do, the more it fills up. We're doing for others, but we're reaping the benefits, aren't we? Because we are rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. So today, as we dig in a little bit for the few minutes that we're going to be here today, I want to challenge us all to have more joy in our lives. For our lives to be full of joy. In order to do that, we've got to do three things, okay? Three things today. Number one, decide to rejoice. There has to be a decision. John chapter 16. Turn a page over if you're still in 15. And listen to these verses, 16 through 24. A little while, Jesus again now, right here at the beginning. A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is that he says to you, to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. And because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is that he says, a little while? We do not know what he's saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, and your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. For joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore you now have sorrow. But I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take away from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Boy, what a beautiful way. Jesus, the greatest teacher of all time, isn't he? They were confused, obviously. And Jesus, what he said to them, hey, you're going to see me now, then you're not going to see me, then you're going to see me again. They were really struggling with that, and it was an internal struggle. But of course, Jesus, knowing all things, he knew what they had on their heart. And so ultimately, what did he tell them? He used that example of a mom, a new mom, having her baby, going through the labor, going through the pains, going through all of that. It's so miserable for the ladies. And you know, ladies, what that's like. But when you hold that baby for the very first time, that's all you're thinking about. Your heart's so full of joy. Well, Jesus is saying, you're going to be sad because I'm going to leave you. But one day we're going to hold each other again. And because of this, we can all be full of joy. Without Christ, there's only temporary happiness. Without Christ, there is wailing and sorrow. With Christ, however, there is pure joy. Hurrah! Kind of life, right? Verse 21 again talked about the baby. Think about Jesus' life. Malachi 2:10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy when that baby was born. Luke 1 verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at His birth. Again, talking about Jesus being born. Luke 2 verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. In order to have joy, we need to focus on the Son, not focus on the sin. Christ, we've got to make a decision. We've got to make a decision to follow Him. We've got to choose. We've got to decide. We've got to do that in order to rejoice. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus decided, no matter what they give me, I'm going to rejoice. Today we must decide as well. Number two, after we decide to rejoice, we need to desire to rejoice. Today, in a moment, you're going to go eat. How do we decide a restaurant? The desire of food that lies within us. What we desire, right? That's what we're going to base that off of. How do we decide to be joyful? From the desire that lies within us. Joy is a gift from God, John 15:11, that my joy may remain in you. My joy, God's joy, given to us through Christ to remain in us. If we go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me money, and He gives us money, well, that's going to bring some happiness, but it's going to be temporal. After a while, that money's going to run out. We're going to need more money. And we're going to need more of this and more of that. And so that happiness remains temporal. But if we say, Lord, give me Your joy, give me Your joy, He's willing to give it freely. If we do not desire joy, we won't be people that rejoice. As simple as that. Again, Philippians 4 verse 4, Paul said it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, there are going to be things in life on this earth, as we mentioned earlier, that will not always bring a smile to our face. Disease, miserable, terrible. Cancer, terrible. I mean, just an awful, awful, awful situation. Death, miserable, horrible. That's part of this life. That's part of this earth. When our babies hurt, horrible, isn't it? When these babies hurt and they're crying and they're miserable and they're running fever, and man, it's just terrible. When our families hurt, it might not just be physical, it could be emotional. How do we feel? We feel terrible about that. We want to make it better. When our job's miserable, that makes us miserable. In life, we're going to face circumstances that are challenging. And we may not be able to find joy in those circumstances, but we can find joy in the One who's standing on top of our problems. And that's Jesus Christ. Desire it. Decide it. Desire it. And there's thirdly, we need to determine that we're going to rejoice. We sing this song at Vacation Bible School, probably at Outdoor Bible and other places. I've got the joy, joy, joy. Where at, kids? Down in my heart, right? They know it. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. That's a decision. That's a desire. That's determination. If I'm going to let my heart produce joy, I've decided, I've desired, I've determined. We must determine that we will not let the devil take our joy. We got to just quit letting it happen. God is determined to be joyful. Do you know that? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. I want you to listen to these words. I'm going to break them down, sentence or phrase by phrase. Zephaniah 3, 17. The Lord your God in your midst. That brings joy to me right now, doesn't it, you? God is right here with us. He is in the middle of us. We are here to worship Him. Zephaniah reminded us of that, and we're reminded today. What does it say next? The Mighty One will save. Bring joy to your heart. Brings joy to mine. I'm a sinner saved by grace by the blood of Jesus Christ. I didn't do anything to deserve this unmerited favor. But He loved me enough to give me His joy. Thirdly, He said, He will rejoice over you with gladness. What? How can God rejoice over this old nasty sinner? Because He loves me. He loves me unconditionally. He loves you unconditionally. He goes on to say, He will quiet you with His love. There are things that we might be screaming out about. He's saying, shh, listen. It's okay because I love you. Everything's going to be all right. And then finally there it says, He will rejoice over you with singing. I don't know about you, but I usually don't sing. I know people do sing when they're melancholy or they're down or whatever. I know that, you know, the blues, that's where they came from. But I, Terry, usually do not sing because mainly I can't sing very well unless I feel good. You know, Madeline's got this little karaoke thing, and man, I can crank it up when I'm feeling good. Some of y'all think, I need to see that. But I like to sing. This morning, we were singing a cappella on the way here in old Rodney Britt. A lot of people know Rodney. While the ages roll on, man, it'll put their hair on the back of your neck the way he could, that bass booming voice. But I got out of the truck singing that. And I come into the church building, I'm not going to do it right now, but anyhow, I mean, it makes me feel good. Well, think about this. God's looking down, rejoicing, and singing. That's pretty special to me. The Hebrew word for the word rejoice there implies to leap or to spring. God is willing. He is determined to jump up and down and even sing if we determine to choose joy. John 16, verse 22, as we close. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. You may have sorrow right now, but Christ has promised if we will obey Him, He will see us again. Our hearts will rejoice, and nobody can take that away from us. Today, why would we not decide, desire, determine to rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. It starts right now with a decision to decide to follow Jesus. And when we put that hand to the plow, may we not ever look back. If you need to do that, if you need to get your hands back on the plow, let's come right now together. We stand and sing.